Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is another episode of MC Anime Podcast. Back with me today, MC, and I have a special guest, Matthew. How are you doing today?
Great. At my age, I'm happy as hell if I'm still above ground.
You know what? Look, that was pretty good. Maybe we could put it about like Louisiana. Maybe go to like Louisiana because of the sinking ground.
Right, exactly.
And tell them about yourself, what you do, and all that good stuff, and where they can find you.
Well, I mean, we all have, you know, the longer you're here in life, you know, the more stories you create. And I think that's the key, is to keep yourself entertained, you know, because somehow we want to rely on everybody else to make us happy. And if you don't make yourself happy, nobody's going to do it for you. So that's why, to me, my theory is, if nobody's going to throw me a party, I'm going to throw my own party. You want to come? Okay. Now that's why dressing like this, or whatever. I just started doing this about maybe 20 years ago now. God, that's amazing. I used to wear, you know, Brooks Brothers suits or whatever, or more Italian fashion suits, and expensive. What I found is that funky is cheap. See, this is cheap material. Nobody notices how cheap this is.
What you do, and why should they know about you?
Well, if you're an ex-wife, you may be interested. I write books, or now not books, but I teach people about government information and programs and money and things that are available from the government for everybody. Anybody who lives in this country has access to over, like, the government gives out over $20,000 to every family every year in government grants. But they don't advertise. People don't know about it. The rich people do. They use the hell out of all this stuff. And the average person takes a jab at it. You know, oh, yeah, I heard about grants. And they'll call somebody up and they'll be told that, no, no, you make too much money, or we ran out of money. But you can't act that way. You know, it's sort of like looking for a job. If you're looking for a job, you don't go on one door and knock on them and say, and then they say, oh, we're not hiring today. And you go home and wait for them to change your mind. You know, you have to find a list of people and keep banging on the doors. And to me, this is important to people because there's so much money there that could really help people, but they don't know. And so they think that life is screwing them over. And it isn't, because you haven't learned what life is. See, a third of everything in our economy is what I call the community economy. It's all about community. It's like your church, the government, nonprofit organizations. These are people in our economy that help, that give you money. See, people wind up going to Google, and Google is all about getting money from you, not giving money to you. Anybody you find in Google, and you think that's the source of all information, and it's not. That's the source of two-thirds of our economy. What you're missing is a third of the economy that gives you information. And that's what I, the rest of my life, is my mission, to educate people as much as possible about that. Are you able to go online now and I could show you something? A government office I want to show you, or not? It's going to screw up the interview.
Let's see. We can definitely do that. Government office of what?
Okay, you put in findhelp.org.
That sounds familiar.
Right, it could be. Well, that's good for you.
Find help. See, connect to social and
.org.
Yes, findhelp.org is food, housing, financial assistance, healthcare, and more. Basically, if you do a search for your area, let's say,
yeah, put in your zip code first. See up on the left hand side.
About 2,000 programs.
Right. See, there's 2,000 programs there.
Databases by FindHelp Public Benefit Corporation. All divided into categories: food, housing, goods, transit, health, money, care, education, work, and legal.
Right.
So basically, What he's getting at is there's different resources in your area. You just have to know where to find it.
Absolutely.
It helps foster that connection through the books he sells, the programs he wants you to know about, so you'd be able to potentially force for grants that could be given to you if you qualify and all that good stuff.
All right.
So up in the little search box, let's give him an example. Put rent, R-E-N-T, up on top left-hand side.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you put in your zip code, then you put in rent on the next page.
I'm just getting ads.
Oh, you shouldn't get ads. Find out that'll help,
actually, instead.
Oh, I see. That's why.
Subscription. Okay, so we go to...
Well, you have to put in your zip... No, don't do those things. Go up on the left-hand side, and did you put in your zip code first?
Yes.
Okay, so now go up on the left-hand side, and in the search bar, put rent up there.
All right. Drive-through food pantry.
No, is that rent you put up there?
Assistance, new song, United Methodist Church, financial assistance for expenses, utilities, rent, mortgage, and other life essentials to in true need. So a financial assistance helps pay for housing and help pay for utilities.
Right. So, I mean, what do you have, about 50, 70 organizations there?
It's good change. It's like seven.
Oh, well, then now you're... We did something wrong. If you could go back. But anyway, if you put in rent, but you can't...
Yeah, financial assistance, different qualifications, assisted living, homelessness. There's about 62 pings.
Right.
The map is just this misleading a little bit. But with that, you actually have different access to different resources that is already given on a public... So that's what the impact of what we do is you provide financial literacy to people to be able to provide financial literacy to themselves.
Perfect. I need you for marketing.
You say it so well. I mean, you're very intelligent to see all that. I talk to so many people that, they're just so overwhelmed or don't know what the hell to say or whatever. But no, you're a smart guy. I mean, that gets it right to it, and in a friendly way and in a way that's authentic and real and not the way I do.
Hey, don't say. Okay, crazy. All right, well, since I mentioned the commercials, we are doing commercials, the question mark guy.
Right.
Matthew, you are the question mark. What is that? What is that persona you created online?
My whole life, I've been involved with information. I mean, I got an MBA in computers and management information systems. And my mission was trying to get information to top management to make decisions.
And I was a consultant with that. And they'd want me to get information. And I was in Washington. This is back in the 70s. So this is way before computers or before you were born. And we went to the library to find that information. But I was going and helping companies get new businesses and things like that. And I was in Washington. I didn't know anything about Washington, but I start following my nose in town. And hey, so like Procter & Gamble wanted to start a chain of pasta store. So I was able to find a government official at the Department of Commerce who studies pasta business. That's all he does. So he gets paid $100,000 a year just to study the pasta business. And see, government officials all work for you. So everybody, you could call them up. I call them up. And I didn't know I could do this at the time, but I found I could just call him up, make an appointment, and he would just pour his heart out about all the money and help that's available for people to start pasta stores. And I'd take that information and package it, put my name on it, and sell it to Procter & Gamble for thousands of dollars. And then I said, God, why doesn't everybody know this? I mean, this is a mother load of incredible money and expertise and everything. And so I wanted to get this to the average person. So as a consultant, we charge as much as we can get. So Procter & Gamble charged thousands of dollars, but the average person wouldn't do that. So I figured I had to do books for that. That's how to communicate at a reasonable fee. And so I found a book at the government printing office called The Catalog of Federal Domestic Assistance. And see, nothing in the government is copyrighted. So what I did is took that book, I cut and pasted it. I flunked English in college, so. And I sent it to New York. They published it, and I went on TV shows and became a New York Times bestseller. Now, to get this information to people.
So, these commercials about the question mark guy, how did that?
Well, I found, you know, that when I was selling books just without commercials, I found that I was people liked me. I was a regular guest. At the time, the way to get marketing was be a guest on talk shows. Okay. And so if you're an author, you go to talk shows, and I'd travel city to city. I'd go down to Richmond and do a dozen talk shows and go to the next state and do a dozen talk shows. So it was me getting on television and telling people about this, sold books. But there's limited, you know, you could only do Oprah so many times. You could only do Larry King so many times. And so the way to get more would be do a commercial. And then before I did that, though, there was something called home shopping. Yeah, it's still around. You know, you buy stuff on TV, QVC and stuff like that. And that sold. I'd go down there and sell more books than Oprah. And then I'd be in on Oprah. So I thought, oh, I should do commercials then. And that was the long form commercials and that. And so then I could, and then buying commercial time, I found out how to do that for free. You don't pay for it. You know, broadcast at the time, they were selling ads. So if they had ads on the station, like CNN would sell ads, and I couldn't afford ads, but I'd give them my commercial, and I say, you run my commercial, and I'll give you half the money, you know. And I had a way to contact everybody, had a separate 800 number, and they would run it when they had no commercials. So I said, well, nobody buys the time. You know, it's probably not worth it for me to buy what you say it's worth, but here's something. If nobody buys the time, use my commercial, and I'll give you half the money. And that just really took off, because there's so much free time. Like on the internet, you know, everybody wants to have an ad, but a lot of times people have that with ads that are empty, and if they think you have something that they can make money on it, maybe it's not the full price of the ad that they like to get, but something is better than nothing.
True.
Always a way to do it.
So you know, wait, the metric in which you can measure out the worth and the potential worth of what the commercial could be wanting for the potential buyers connect to that.
No, I mean, people in marketing pretend they can do that, but they can't. And that's why people try to sell that. People who are selling time on radio, TV, or internet say, hey, I got these people, that's worth $1 million. You don't know that because it's your product. Who the hell knows what they're going to do? And that's why, to me, a safer way to advertise, okay, if you think that's $1 million to me, I say, I'll give you $500,000 for that time. But here's how you're going to get it. When I get $1 million, I'll give you half.
Yeah. So I owe you. Right. Just...
But it costs you nothing. See? And if you just have no time left that nobody bought for $1 million or whatever you say it's worth, at least maybe you make $500,000 for me.
Yeah, just like the retail business, we have lockdowns. So alternative stress produce that we sell, we put it in lockdowns for zero food waste, basically.
Exactly.
If you don't get something for it, you get it reduced for the same price, any bag, any product, any variety, and it doesn't matter if it's organic, non-organic, or all good together. You put it in, we get like double the profit margin on selling it for $1. So it's like,
exactly right.
We inventory back credit when we do inventory every month.
Right.
You know, we have like 500 units to sell every week. So that's our quota. So they actually have like, well, this goes to food waste. This goes to food bank. We can donate this. This is out of date. So we can scan it out, throw it away. It's like an apple that it has like a slight bruise mark. Well, I was going to buy that. Not, it's a question. So we can put it in a markdown, get it for that price, and then let it go.
Exactly. Same thing. And that's what commerce is all about. So I did very well with that. And then people stopped buying books.
That's because the book market is what we call a limited quantity. So it's limited on the amount of copies you sell. Once you get it past a certain point, typically that fluctuation will not pick up again.
Right.
There's a reason for a pickup again. And typically, the pickup again is usually other clothing sales. Specific books about specific products typically would be a limited amount of time. So in your commercials, how did you dress up with suits and a question mark?
That's from inside my heart. You know, this is me inside.
It's something, you know, I always, you know, the literal look from the Batman series.
It certainly, that's what I get most. But no, to me, question marks was, I'm trying to convince people information is so important for you to make decisions. But information, you can get information on anything, but you have to ask the right questions. So that determines what kind of information you get is what questions you're asking. So I'm trying to get people to ask the right questions in order to get the information they need. But now I graduated to hearts, because I've been doing this 50 years. Yeah? And now I feel, okay, even if you have the right answer to anything by asking the right question, it really is not going to happen unless your heart's in it, unless you really want to do it. Yeah, you know? Because everything in life is a pain in the ass. Life is just going from one disaster to another, one problem to another, or whatever. And the experts want to make you believe that's not true, because if you hire them, they have the secret formula.
I don't know if it's the formula. There's different ways to help you build more to your credibility, but also the fact they're not the go-to expert. They're like mid-range knowledge in their field. So they can help you get to a point where you can be better and propel you up, but it's going to charge them a fee because you use their mid-level success. Now, the people that have that higher level, that have the top 5%, you'd be paying them even more. Or what sometimes will happen, they would offer their services for free, and they get free publicity through you.
Right.
So it just really goes to show you that different levels of the skill market and talent define services in a different way. For you, what questions have you asked that are the right questions, since you're the question mark?
Well, the questions to me are trying to get into in the minds of my consumers or professional consumers or trying to the minds of my customers to see what they really need. Everybody wants a lot of money, but it's more than that, you know. And how, and the what can I say? You know, this is a marketing problem. What can you say that will motivate you to seek the help? You know what I mean?
Advertise the pain points and then find a solution to the pain point. But like, that's a oversaturated strategy. So
right. No, I mean that's part of it, something like that. But it's knowing there are different pain points for everybody else. I mean that's why to me it, and that's why I'm doing a podcast now. Because if you're just looking at Google or something like that, you don't feel. Or it's sort of like making love. You know, you can't make love by a 7-step program. Yeah.
It has to be a personal thing. It has to.
Right. Exactly.
Values, there's different types of contradictions you have to overcome.
Right. And that's why, see, it's all that kind of stuff to me comes from the heart more than the brain.
Yeah. Well, commercials is all about personality. It's how you present yourself, how you are able to connect the people behind that screen. Would they remember you? They will definitely remember you if you're the question mark guy, because you come on the show, you're very energetic, they see that blasting number on the bottom of the screen, they can't forget you. They see, oh, he'll give me access to grant money. He will actually give me money to potentially help me. If I go see this book, maybe it can help me as much as he just told me he could. That type of relationship is right there.
You know what? Well, a lot of that is my nature, you know, trying to make people happy or whatever that nature is in me, and having fun myself in life. But the other thing I learned is I was a professor, a computer science professor back in the 70s and for university in D.C. And most of the people were working all day and coming to get a degree at night. And I found that I couldn't teach anything unless I kept them awake. So I really had to entertain them to keep them awake to teach them. And that's why I see media is the same thing. You know, and when I was going on talk shows, I realized, I worried that people would think I'm a fraud because there was something wrong in my book I wrote and all the, you know, the insecurity that comes out in all of us. Yep. And what I found out quickly is they didn't care what I said. It was how I said it. Yeah. And the personality and whatever that attracted their audience And that's what they were interested in. They didn't care what the hell I was talking about. It was how I was talking about. So I get it. But then, back then, everybody was flipping channels. You know, you had 200 channels on your television, right? And you're just sliding through those 200 channels. So to me, I had to get your attention as you're flipping through the channel. Oh, what's that asshole talking about, right?
Yeah. And so in your experience, commercials are typically doing three things. They're advertising, self-promoting, giving awareness, or doing other stuff. But it's all for the purpose of, where is the audience, what are you trying to do? Persuade, inform, or entertain? Because those three still kick into commercials right. Every time. And then you also have the appeal to public speaking, logos, ethos, and pathos. So you can tie those into your purpose for the broadcast, and then you can tie more how the product.
What the hell are you doing in the food service industry, man? You should be a consultant. No, you're brilliant. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, very important stuff there. I swear to God, I'm not fooling around. You know? And if hide someone, you know, because of your accent or... and so that hides that a little bit, you know?
And it is... I mean, what you're talking about is gold. I mean, it's important stuff. You know, make sure people know what's inside that mind of yours. But if all you said, I mean, you learn from instinct, because if you're awake and you want to succeed in somewhere, that you take every bad thing. That's what the bad things are, the best thing that happened. Because if you have a plan on how to be successful, it's probably not going to work. Maybe pieces of that are important, but you're going to run into a lot of bad stuff.
Action is important to get there. It's a roadmap to provide the foundation.
Right, exactly.
But what is the backup plan? What is the plan B? What is the substitute to the replacement of what you're going to do after that? If it doesn't completely work out, what is the roadmap going to look like, slightly changed or altered for the new path?
Well, I think, I mean, to me, what it is trying 100 things and hoping one works.
Is that what you do?
I've written 100 books and only 10 made money. No, that's right.
You just put spaghetti on the wall, see if it's stuck?
Because you don't really know. And that's right. But if you try something, and you don't have to wait till you have the perfect idea, because none of us know what that is. It's different for all of us. So you take even the mediocre idea, put that, and see that doesn't work. And then that leads you to another thing, you know, that you didn't know before you got that negative feedback. That actually is creating something for a new path in that. But you have to be open to that and look, always keep looking for that. Because in other words, that's why people, when they have a big, important plan, they're planning for success. No, you don't plan for success in my mind. You plan for failure. You have a better chance of that.
I expect the worst going to happen. That way I don't have too much optimism coming in. But if a bet for halfway worse happens, I'm happy. The worst did happen.
Exactly.
How was commercials like acting? Was that something you had to take focus on, how to like convey a message to?
No, I don't think so.
Commercial?
If I didn't believe in what I'm doing, yes, I would have to.
Yeah.
If you believe in what you're doing, you don't have to. You're pouring your heart out. I mean, I remember my wife laughing like, hold on, a couple of years ago. We were talking friends from old friends or something. And in our conversation, I say, I don't sell. My wife goes, holy fuck, what do you mean? You're one of the biggest hucksters in America. What do you mean you don't sell? But that's how I see it. I'm not selling at all. I'm educating, and I believe in this stuff so much. You know, I'm not like an evangelist or something. I don't know. But that's what it is. It's coming from the heart all the time. And every time I have a script, it doesn't work.
Well, here's what I believe about scripts. Scripts are there to give you insight, give you a framework.
Right.
And you make it your own.
Right.
And you do the overview process. Yes, you do that. But then you also try to focus on specific instances. Okay, this is not exactly what the script said, but let's go with it anyway and see where it goes.
You're fucking brilliant, man. You should have run for president. No, I swear to God. I mean, I'm sincere about that. I've met millions of people or whatever. And your down-to-earth intelligence is remarkable. But your view of the world, your instinct of what's going on around you is wonderful. I'm really surprised.
I come from a TV background, so I did TV production for 4 years. I have continued that speaking in live streams, and then I also did the podcast, and I also wrote in blogs for fandom related activities. So I kind of been around the block.
I see.
Fandoms, understanding the media, the storyteller, understanding in a way that is the lessons along the way, the framework in which the story is written. Had to break it down into one topic ideas.
Well, you can help people. I mean, everybody has a podcast. Everybody has, something. The media is easy. You don't have to spend $100,000 to get a camera crew. You spend a couple $100 and get an iPhone, and you're in the media business, right? But the help out there, to do that, to help people see the stuff that you see in doing this would be so helpful to people who are struggling trying to do this. In other words, I always think, okay, what can we take of ours that we're really good at and it comes natural?
It's called a niche. Yep. What are you good at?
Exactly.
You have blinds on, you specialize in. And how can you take that specialization, make it a talking point, present yourself? You could be a speaker, you could be an expert, it doesn't matter. How can you sell yourself? Is it selling yourself to the job? Is it selling yourself to a business? You want to be part of that industry where you exceed in what you want to do best. The particular thing that you want to nail down, hunker down the 1,000 hours it takes to do it.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. See, and now that's what I mean. Okay, so it's how do you monetize that so you could live off your talent?
Oh, it's easy. Yeah. Find where you specialize in. Audience going to buy it.
That's right.
It has to be like you. You have to throw spaghetti at the wall. You did the 100 books, you only had 10.
That's right.
It takes too many hours, and it won't
necessarily
pay in the end. It'll pay later, but it doesn't necessarily pay in the beginning. Or mid-range, or it could be just like the last 5 years. You don't know.
All right. No, you're absolutely right. But people that are starting out trying to figure that out, see, to me, I feel that you may have a product right there. That helps people come to reality. And so if you, instead of doing a podcast like this, that you have a training lesson about taking your idea or something like that and charging whatever kind of thing. And there's platforms now. When I was trying to figure out how to do this, there's a platform that you available as a consultant, maybe $50 an hour, whatever you want to do. And they call up and you help them on the phone. And yeah. And the platform takes care of everything, the money, you don't have to worry about anything. But you get a way for people to be able to send you money. So you're doing the podcast, I can help you do this. If you want some consulting, here's a link, to hire me and give money to.
So for your exposure in TV, what is a valuable lesson in being exposed to it, to the industry, to advertising?
Well, it took me maybe 5 years to figure out how to make money again at this. After my books didn't work and training, all that kind of stuff I was selling before. And it was very popular, but then nobody bought reference books anymore. Google, why do I need information on anything? I got Google. So trying to figure out now, how will people pay for this? And what I found, and it works very well for me now, is a community. So I have a community called Let's Go Help that people join, and it's only $20. I'm able to do it. And I didn't want to be seeing, and you're selling financial stuff. I mean, people charge $500, $5,000 or whatever, and they get it. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted something with $20. The people who really need this money, I want to have it at their price, not what price I could get from rich people. because they don't need this money. In fact, try to...
So you found a platform.
Yeah.
To do what we call community interaction. You drive a product, you get that to a community, you sell to that community. It's just like Patreon for a YouTuber.
Yes, it's
close-knit
right.
Looking of fans or an audience that wants us to directly support you. They are your super fans. And by doing that, you actually leverage them to get more content in an exclusive pace.
Absolutely. Because they help. The key to this, and that's how I'm thinking now, this platform now doesn't even need me because people are helping people. You know, I've been studying this for 50 years, so if I tell you about a program, it's hard for me to get excited about it because I've been doing it so damn long, and I can't relate to you struggling for your first time. But members help members in our community. So somebody just got this, you know, last week. Hey, how much do you get of that?
You just begin again. So you have a platform, you leverage that platform, you get fans and an audience to connect to you.
Right.
How does that platform give you substance to what you're growing as a group in that community?
Well, $20 a month subscription, number one. Number two, it's them sharing their experiences with other people. Them, I mean, right now on our platform, we have maybe 3-4 hours a day of members that are live to answer questions like this, but in Zoom calls. So a member gets on, hey, let me tell you about this program, how I got it, yada, yada, yada. And then you could ask them questions is better than asking me questions because they just did it.
There's a question mark, guys.
Now they just use me as the hoochie hoochie girl in front of the tent at the county fair. You get you inside the tent.
This is going to be an interesting episode with the flagging. But I also think the power to leverage your email blast, your consumer base in that platform is really huge. And it gives an alternative finance solution to monetize your voice. And I feel like you have done that and you capitalized on the commercials to be able to grow that up.
No, you're right. I meant my notoriety in the past. I thought you were dead. You know, but you still at this. You know? But monetize, I'm not interested.
Monetizing, but you have a way to small scale monetize. Wouldn't it? Somewhere. But it also gives you a chance to show it in a different
way. Yes, absolutely. Well, that's it. That's where I felt that success was a handicap. Because I did well in commercials and everything like that. And no matter what I did, that shit wasn't working again. And so it was hard that I had to get that knocked out of me so that I had a clearer vision on where the opportunities are today. They were for opportunities that were here yesterday. That doesn't work anymore. So what old people have to do is relearn that. It's hard to relearn or forget what was made well.
And it's a trick.
Right, exactly. And so that's why I like young people around me, because you're only looking at where the opportunities are. Not dragging some success story with you, trying to make that happen again, you know.
That's just my perception. I find that success is depending on what the person feels what it is and then what other people think it is. There's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Right.
When it comes to determining what success is. Different companies will publish what success looks like. A Guinness World Record would say you're very successful because you had this record. What does success look to the person? What is the goal you're trying to achieve in your situation? Like mine, I am successful because I'm connecting with people. I'm using public speaking to do so. Podcasting is a platform to do that. Even if it's one-on-one, that's fine because it's still... It doesn't have to be a big group of people. So Podmatch, Podpalooza, be on featured speakers, having professional speakers, be on their pocket. I do it all. And I just like it. It's just something I like.
Well, that's the key. And we're not usually taught that. At least I wasn't. And most of us are here to impress other people instead of ourselves.
You know, age, the speaking is very important. Strangers, oh, you're such an old soul. Oh, you're such an imaginative. You're such a fun person. It's like, okay. So he's been talking for hours and just I was in the wholesale with flea markets. So I'll be at these flea markets all day long. And literally the dudes are only talking to vendors. Talking to vendors selling other stuff at the pumpkin. So that's important to me. I've been in sales all my life. I continue to be in grocery because it's easy. The work right now I'm doing is I'm assistant produce leader. So my job is to secure the closing every time I come in, 5 days a week from 1:30 to 10. I'm calling prime time. That's my backup title, intruder. And you know what? I crack it. I'm in a union that protects certain rights that I have, job advance. And, you know, I changed from one industry and food line to Kroger. So I'm actually able to say, oh, Kroger's more challenging. It's more product to sell. It's a lot more things to do. Well, food line, I was stuck in a lot. I was the lead, but they were treating me like I was a manager. I'm at Kroger, I am an manager. I'm a nighttime manager.
I see.
I'm basically part of a management team and be able to extend what I was able to do. And, you know, it did pay a lot more. 1.9, I think, $1.92 increase. And then
wow.
Two increases. So definitely being able to find a job where you can get benefits.
All right.
Good for me. I have insurance. I have life, medical, and dental. So
wonderful.
I have what I say is success. All right, people think, well, why are you working in the grocery industry? It's like, it pays my bills, and I don't necessarily need a cushy job to be able to be happy. Like, I want a job, have my time, and my time flexibility. Like, I have a schedule, so I have 7 days a week in the morning to do whatever I want. Why wouldn't anyone have a set schedule for
exactly
a week to do free time appointments? Go to work and you still like refresh because you still slept in the day last night.
Well, I think it's almost immoral to tell anybody else what to do with their life. I think, you know,
they just find the happiness which goes with
right. And they have to do that. We can't be a judge of anybody else's life because we don't even know what to do with our own life.
We should figure it out even.
Exactly. We're all figuring that out every day. So what gives us the right to tell anybody else what to do with their life when we don't even know what the hell to do with our life? We're guessing everything.
He goes to the American Legion, the VFW. Then he goes to his different lodges, and he has fun. He used to go to the drugstore. He had a brick. He talked to his military buddies at the Legion Club and the, you know... But there's connections to be formed in these organizations, in these groups. And there's a power to it. There's a reason why something is there. You just need to figure out how to find it.
Well, community. I mean, that's what you're talking about, I think. And that's what I feel. We get so wrapped up in money and capitalism that we forget about the community, which helps our heart. And what I, as I get old now, last couple of years, all I worry about is my heart more. That's why I learn hearts more and love. Because, see, when you get 80, I can't get stronger. See, at your age, you're still, oh, I could be strong. I could be fast. I could be smart. I mean, at 80, all that shit's going downhill. So I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to get stronger. Never going to get faster. Never going to get smarter. But I could love harder. See? That's the one thing I could do harder until I die.
As you go with age, passion is there.
Right. See, you can love harder.
So you don't want business.
Exactly.
I could see that. That was my show I was watching last night. But anyway, with broadcasting specifically, what contacts have you formed that like took outside of broadcasting?
What's that?
In broadcasting industry that you have worked in with commercials, what context have you taken outside of that industry?
Gosh, I think what I've taken outside the industry, not only broadcasting, but marketing and everything, you know, trying to help people. It's all about helping people. And it's all about, it's a two-way street because you have to help people. You have to And it boils down to love. Love is, to me, is helping someone else do whatever they want to do. It's not telling them what to do, okay? So the same way, if you want to be successful in broadcasting or selling something, you have to give something that they want. And so how do you listen to figure that out? How do you get that knowledge for them? Not, we have a tendency, oh, I think everybody should have this. Yeah. So we want them to have it. So that's sort of like making love is sort of like making love to yourself because you like it. That's no fun. You want to make love to somebody else. So you got to figure out how they want to be loved, you know, and what they need. In that sense.
In that way, how's it like to be an actor? Like, you were a personality on air as a talent. How was that kind of contributed to you necessarily?
Well, it helped the insecure part of me in a way. You know, we're all insecure. We're all scared as hell and don't know what we're doing in life. And at least to me as a young person, I admired celebrities and people that were, you know, but this is the 50s and 60s. This is way back. So to walk down the street and have people say hello to me or hug me or laugh or smile, I mean, that's a wonderful feeling. That is just, wow. And I cherish every moment of it because I know it could go away instantly. I could be a has-been in no time at all.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're a has-been. I think you amount to something that is unique. Say they have been the question mark guy, so powerful. Like, what does that mean? Why is the question mark guy? Like, I don't have that, but like, it has
exactly. So what does it matter to you?
As me online, I am just me. I'm authentic as myself, who I want to be.
That's terrific.
Want to make something out of it, let them.
Well, I mean, part of me is that because when that happened, I thought my whole world would change. Like the first time I got on ABC, you know, Good Morning America or something. I thought, oh, there's some guy in Hollywood to see me. Come here, boy, I'm going to make you a star or something like that. That shit doesn't happen, you know, at least to me. And you have to keep doing it anywhere. And all that stuff, I mean, to me, the only value of it personally is I could get my phone calls returned. I got so many other things I'm very much more interested in doing. Than becoming the question mark, you know, or staying the question mark. This, to me, the question mark suit is me inside. So it's not something I wore or decided to do because I knew it was going to be a great marketing skimmer. Nah, not at all.
I don't think you were doing it for marketing. I think you were diving into part of yourself that was part of you on these commercials.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was thrown off the air when I first walked on it. Home shopping. I threw away $1 million because they said they can't wear the suit. I said, this is me. I'm sorry. And
you can't wear the suit.
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's devastating, Georgie, who you are. So what is one experience that you found in working in commercials as a interesting perspective you didn't have before?
Most people are superficial. And nobody shows their heart. Nobody's really. It's the authenticity of most commercial stuff is so shallow, yeah. And that's why the heart isn't there and they pretend it is. Oh, I love you, baby. And that's the worm part. That's why now in my work, it's the best work I've ever done. I'm getting the best results I've ever done. I feel better than I've ever done from my heart inside out than ever before. Than being on the New York Times bestseller list or selling millions of books, nothing is as satisfying as what's happening now.
True. And living in the moment, living spontaneously. I just analyzed this theme through Scent of a Woman. So my last episode.
Oh, Scent of a Woman?
Okay. Yeah, I love that show. I love that. Yeah. I also had a roommate who was actually blind talk about it, listen to all your description to the movie. So it was interesting. But you have to.
Al Pacino.
You don't want to let life.
Absolutely.
Because if you let it by something. That happen when you feel disillusioned within its society, and no one has time for it.
Exactly.
Not in the scheme of how to live, currently living. You know, I just had my grandmother. We just finally handled her estate after she went away. And her last moments, she wanted to control the narrative how she lived. It was hospice. So right. Hospice is an interesting development for...
That was great.
...self of being for her. So she was getting better, but she did. She just wanted to live without anything for life functioning, resulting support. But, you know, she had what she wanted done. She lived in the last moments as, this is how I want to go. This is how I want to be. I just want to be free. No medical burden. All that lifted off our shoulders.
I believe that somebody ever read, this woman had tattooed on her chest, DNR. So, which, do not resuscitate.
Yeah, that is something that is, you know, definitely there. But I feel like in different connections along the way, you find how you... What is one aspect that you found that commercials gave you you didn't have before? What is one aspect that commercials gave you you didn't have before?
Money.
What was the personal development? That?
What was that?
A personal development?
Personal development? Well, I think... You know, I was probably climbing for some kind of notoriety or whatever. And, you know, having the little I get, it is satisfied that so I could look harder and work on my heart more instead of this superficial stuff.
Gotcha. What do you want the audience to know about working in commercials and your persona as the questionable guy?
Well, I don't think there's nothing to learn because our culture changes all the time.
And you said that culture has to change specifically. Like, why can't you just be the question mark guy? And that's what you...
Okay, but I mean, it's all about timing or whatever at the culture and, you know, fashions and whatever come and go, man. I can't get hired to be the question mark guy. I don't want to. You know, I don't want to talk about yesterday or anything. It's no interest to me.
Today is still part of you.
Yeah, I know it is. That's fine. But I have so many other things I want to do. And to me, my mission is to try to educate people as much as I can about what the government has to offer them. Because nobody seems to be doing that. And I waited 50 years for the government to do it. And they never get around to do it and probably won't. So that's my mission. And then to me... It's nice to be known as a question mark, but that doesn't matter to me. And what matters to me is if I could affect more people to, you know, take advantage of these opportunities that could improve their life, but I don't know. So it's a good struggle.
Giving them a solution that is an alternative to loan or borrowing money. Money they don't have to give back, something that's just giving to because they under a criteria meet that grant.
Exactly. But they don't know. They don't know. And then they don't know. We're not trained on how to do it. We're just trained to spend money.
Yeah. I think that spending money purposely, it doesn't only help us. No, it might give us temporary relief.
Right.
But using for longevity... what people try to do, they're just trying to figure out how to do it.
Right. Or to me, it's figuring out how to create it instead of spending it. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people like to, they can rely on, do some work, let it sell by itself, and just sit back and do other things that they had time for. My version of my future when it comes to money, longevity, is this. I'm going to work for so many years. I'm going to have a retirement. But I have to work so many years to get it. But even if I officially retire, guess what? I'm just going back to part-time. Because part-time, I still have a free schedule. I can still enjoy myself. And I have extra spending.
Right, exactly.
No one's going to give me that to me. And even when I'm done officially part-time, then, you know, I'm just going to enjoy what I have.
All right.
You know, advance into this is a revenue. Draw a little bit out. Then this is a revenue. Draw from that, but use it as what we call primary, secondary, and tertiary income.
Right.
For me, that's where I to have different forms of
right.
avenues to draw from and potentially be better for it. That's the work I did for it.
Well, as long as you're doing something towards something, then nobody could fault any of that. Alyssa, I'm going to have to, I got another thing to do here in a few minutes.
All right. Where can they find you and potentially connect with you?
Well, actually, my accountant said we can't have any more money, okay? So there's a problem with sales. So we shouldn't because it's a... No, I'm teasing you. find help. No, lescohelp.com. Lescohelp.com. That's where we get this. Or on YouTube. YouTube.com/MatthewLesko. And I got thousands of videos there.
All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Not a pleasure.
The commercials and the question mark guy.
But you have been really interesting, enlightening,
and overall, the personality that is you, authentic to who you are, and don't ever let anyone stop you from being that.
What?
Oh. Anyone else?
Well, this, you're saying what I would say to you. So you thank you for giving me the language to say that to you.
Yeah, you
fit every one of those categories. So don't let them change you. Because you have to fight that every day, man. At least I do.
Who you are, all right? Closing message to this podcast.
Bye.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.